Hi, welcome to the Insight Hour. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz. Every Tuesday night at midnight on the East Coast and 9 o'clock Pacific, we bring you some of the latest news in terms of the gloom and doom, but also the great gospel, the modern gospel, the good news, everything that people can be doing to plan for a better day, a brighter day. Sherry, hi.
Hi, Len. How are you?
Good. How was your week?
Oh, my week was... It gets more and more busy.
Crazy, actually. And we've got Rebecca Campbell on the line tonight. And Rebecca, how was your week?
Ditto, the same. I find that when you file a lawsuit, especially of this magnitude, you're kept constantly busy.
Yes, yeah, so we're broadcasting tonight on bbsradio.com and we are broadcasting on love528tv.net, also on the internet, streaming video on BBS as well as audio, as well as video and audio on love528tv. We were unable tonight to, for some reason, technical problems, be beaming out on fluscam.com and fluscam.tv. For some reason, that whole system is shut down and we have yet to figure that out. That's kind of like par for the course for Babylon and, you know, the insanity that we've been witnessing.
Yeah, we've been witnessing more and more insanity, and it gets deeper and deeper, and it seems like there's no end to it. But anyway, we have Rebecca here with us tonight, and she's going to talk about her lawsuit that she's filing. We're so happy to have you on our team, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, especially after last week. I might mention that I was noticing when I was, I had a feature on one of the alternative news programs on Scan TV here in Seattle, which is the largest public access channel in the United States. And the show that I was on constantly had shutdowns of audio, visual. We had a running joke because it was called Call for Investigation and not one call ever got through. I'm kind of used to interference.
Yeah,
so
it's bizarre.
All doesn't surprise me.
I couldn't figure out. I played with it for almost an hour tonight to try to figure out what was wrong with it. And I figured, well, maybe we didn't pay the bills, but, no, that wasn't it, you know? So I don't know what it is. But, Rebecca, thanks for joining us tonight. Let me just, give thanks to, first of all, the Creator. Bless us, Creator, that the words that we speak tonight bless you and your people maximally. We, ask for a full blessing of anointing and, a blessing for Rebecca and for BBS for the Clear Signal broadcasting tonight and Sherry Kane and myself so that your word, your will, your way shall be spoken here tonight in the service to all of the people who have hearts open to hear, ears open to hear, and a desire to do something better than what we're witnessing on this planet to create the glory and blessing and power of perfection that you so desire us to achieve in our advancing our destiny. So we praise you for that blessing, Creator. I want to thank our co-sponsors. I want to thank HealthyWorldStore.com for sustaining us with the funds that are required to keep our broadcasts going. I want to thank everyone listening tonight for ordering whatever, books, tapes, DVDs, CDs, healthcare products on HealthyWorldStore.com. I would urge everyone, we've talked about it in the past, get OxySilver. Right now, everyone really should be detoxing, first of all, even before OxySilver with ZeoLife. You can go to zeolife.net and find out what it is that I'm talking about in terms of detoxification. And that I highly recommend hydration, good pH adjusting 8, your body chemistry, and then also when you're now well hydrated and detoxified, then hit your body with OxySilver so you get rid of all the pathogens that are weakening your immune system because you're going to need it. I'm not sure I'm going to have much time tonight sharing the latest. Be prepared to receive a newsletter by signing up for our newsletters at HealthyWorldStore.com while you still can. We're changing stores very soon, and your sign-ups are very important to keep in touch with us. Our newsletters are going out, and the next newsletter is going to be talking about cytokine storms and what you should be doing to prepare yourself to defend against death. Yes, death is on the doorstep for a lot of people. And so I urge you to stay tuned. Tonight, Sherry, introduce the show tonight.
Well, we're going to talk to Rebecca about her lawsuit, which is our main topic tonight, but we're also going to talk about the cytokine storm and how, Dr. Horowitz, you really uncovered it about the H1N1. Really, people are not really dying from the H1N1. The children are dying from the cytokine storm and how that came about. So why don't you talk about what you discovered? I mean, I think it's really, you're one of the first people that actually is coming out and saying that it isn't the H1N1, because the H1N1 is a weak virus, and it can't kill people. Like they're actually saying, it's blaming it on them. This is sort of the secret, isn't it? The cytokine storm that nobody's talking about.
Yes, it is. And I don't want to take too much time away from Rebecca, because I know Rebecca has a lot of great information to share about her advancing this lawsuit against the United States federal government. So let me just say this about the cytokine storm. Essentially, you're right, Sherry, that is, most people have no clue that what's killing people, particularly right now in the Ukraine, there's a very interesting, very serious matter of infectious disease co-infections between H1N1 and a hemorrhagic pneumonia that's currently really bringing world attention. World Health Organization officials there are investigating, and you can't trust anything that they're telling you. But the bottom line is, what's killing people is not the virus itself. It's actually a complete immune breakdown. It's called a cytokine storm, and I won't go into tonight. We can do more of that, and if you can get my newsletter, you'll be able to research more or get more information. You can also go and do a Google search, and you can find out a lot about cytokine storms, just like I have.
Can you spell it for everybody?
Sure, it's cytokine, C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E, C-Y-T-O, cytokine storm, K-I-N-E, storm, S-T-O-R-M. And that essentially what it amounts to is that H1N1 is really not doing it. It's really the intoxication and the vaccination intoxications particularly, and the co-infections that are associated with this whacked out hyperactivity of the immune system and all of the cytokines, their little hormones, they're like mini hormones that are used for communications and intercellular communications. They in essence keep our body and our whole system operating normally. That's a major part of natural immunity, and that is completely whacked when you get intoxicated both from biological weapons as well as chemical weapons. And we've all been exposed to chemical weapons, chemical intoxications from our food and our environment, and now biologicals, including H1N1, that is being injected into all these fools who are getting vaccinated and then shedding or spreading. The word shedding, I did a radio show today, and they thought I said, like, defecating, you know. They said, yeah. So, but no, it wasn't, it's shedding, S-H-E-D-D-I-N-G. So, basically, people are spreading H1N1 that they've been injected with these live viruses. And as a result now, these are very easily mutating when they get in contact with other viruses in another person's body. And as a result, there's co-infections and worsening types of more pathogenic, more deadly strains of H1N1 developing. That if you put that together with a co-infection, such as this hemorrhagic pneumonia, in an intoxicated person, especially a person who's whacked with the adjuvants, the vaccine ingredients that literally cause hyper-reactivity of the immune system. That is the fundamentals for a cytokine storm, and that is what's killing people right now, mostly in the Ukraine, but that's what's coming here to North America. So that's really what it's all about.
Well, talk about the perfect storm, huh? No pun intended.
Yeah, that's the perfect swine storm, you know. Hey,
let's talk to Rebecca.
Let's go to Rebecca.
Rebecca, please tell us about that lawsuit that you're filing. Please tell everybody that's listening and everybody that's going to be listening to this program once we get it out on the air as well.
Yeah, and Rebecca, also, please give people a little bit of your own background, how you got involved in suing the United States federal government for virtually genocide and intoxicating the population.
I'm glad you asked that question. My card, when I've had it in the past, has said Rebecca Campbell, professional human being, serving humanity for howsoever many years that card represents at the time. I'm a very whole systems type person. I have many different talents, and I've realized my mission since I was very young. I basically opened my door one night when I was 18 years old, and there was a member of an esoteric order standing on my doorstep. And after that, for 9 years, I had to choose between an artistic or broadcast career, which could have been mine, or going into saving the planet. And I chose the latter. I took the road less traveled. And everything that I've done, basically, throughout my life, and I've done many things, has had one purpose in mind, which was to prepare for the time that we're in now, and in any way I could help, you know, using the gifts I was given to help affect that. And the most recent, and I'm an artist, I have many different talents in the arts and the communications field, so I've tried using the arts. I'm a whole systems activist, so many different areas I've worked in. When I was with my religious order, for example, my order was one of the first to spearhead shelters for battered women and children and families who had endured domestic violence in America. And I went around the country when I was very young. I was in my early 20s, heading boards of directors and leading movements throughout the country to get these shelters established. I left the order, and it was basically, I got very good training there, an excellent background, but it was too hierarchical for me. And I think in this age, we have to get beyond hierarchy and get into networks of self-actualized people with whom we work. It's a pleasure working with you two, for example, because I think you fit that description. I had worked most recently, because there's quite a bit to tell, but I'll just jump forward, with the 9/11 Truth Movement, because it seemed to me that that particular movement was getting at the roots of a lot of what I had observed as societal dysfunction, systemic dysfunction, which, for example, domestic violence and abuse would be a symptom. I'm interested in getting at the cause of things and rooting them out. Therefore, 9/11 seemed to get at the root of a basic cabal against the people of the planet, and 9/11 was a very big obvious sign of that, and there was a movement of people to actually begin to get at that. That movement became kind of hierarchical and celebrity oriented, the usual problems you get with movements. I stuck with it. However, when I was doing some of these television broadcasts I was telling you about on here in Seattle, in June of this year, heard about a courageous Austrian woman who had filed charges against the World Health Organization and the Austrian government for attempting a pandemic exposure of people in Switzerland and Austria. I read this with great interest, and I actually was the first to broadcast about this on television, as far as I know, in the United States. I was so impressed with this. I did a whole feature on it.
This is Jane Burgermeister, right?
And then that was Jane Burgermeister. And then on July 1st, I had a very exceptional day. I was able to get in touch with both Cindy Sheehan and Jane Burgermeister on the same day. I'm not sure how I did that. The stars must have been right. And I got Cindy for an interview on Scan earlier in the day. And then late at night, I decided I would track down Jane Burgermeister. And I got her, and we stayed on the line chatting for about two hours.
And Rebecca, Cindy, let's talk about who's Cindy. Cindy Sheehan is the person who lost... She's a woman who lost her son, right, in the war.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and she's since become, she had been an extremely effective peace activist. She's the one that organized the sit-ins and demonstration near the Bush
right.
Ranch. That
in front of the White House. I know, she's really heavily into anti-war now and anti sending your children to war. I really appreciate what she's doing.
Well, and I appreciate that she's branched out, because when I interviewed her, she had a book out basically revealing the New World Order, and it was about that the elite is telling you. And number 10 was 19 guys with box cutters did 9/11. And so she's spoken out for 9/11 truth as well. So she's gotten more whole systems and evolved in her activism, which I greatly respect also. So in any case, I started working with Jane. She was kind enough to put my play. I did a rather powerful short play that reveals the New World Order. It's the first artistic work I know of that has actually done that. She actually put the entire thing up on her website in mid-July. It's called The Revolt of the Pawns. And it details how the people of the planet are waking up to what is going on, and it actually very powerfully portrays what I feel is the vision for a realistic but positive vision for the future of what is going to happen in the next few years. She also asked me about a month or a little over a month after I met her to start filing some cases over here, and in the United States, as she had done in Austria, although what she did was file criminal charges. What she wanted to try over here were lawsuits, because she felt that the court system over here might be more suitable for it. So I first, in mid-August, filed a suit here in Washington State against mandatory enforced vaccinations. I filed that on August 17th. Washington State, when I investigated, really is not one of the more endangered states as far as having like regulations in place surreptitiously to force H1N1 vaccinations under certain circumstances. So when Jane asked me to also file this federal lawsuit, which is the primary thing we're going to talk about tonight, I was willing to do that because it didn't seem to me that I would have as much of a fight here in Washington State over the state case. The federal case might be much more of a challenge. And I went ahead and did that after there had been one weak suit filed in New Jersey. It really wasn't well prepared. As far as I know, the defendants were not properly served. There were a number of real problems with that. And she wanted to try a second one that would be better written and really cover a lot of the bases. So, I agreed to do it on August 9th. And this is like, you know, several months later. I actually filed this case on October 23rd, and it's called the comprehensive Campbell versus the United States comprehensive federal lawsuit against enforced vaccination / mandatory medical martial law. And in this case, and there are a number of others that have been filed by the National Solutions Foundation / Citizens for Health, and their premise is on the safety and efficacy of vaccines, and that is a valid way of going about it. And it's legally, after taking a look at this, it's a simpler way of doing it, and more likely on the face of it to stand up in court. However, I felt that the one I wanted to do would include that, but it would also go into the violation of basic fundamental constitutional rights, and also what I'm calling I've been contradicted by a couple of other people since then, but I'm calling it false contracts, falsified contracts, which would be legal, political, and financial. So those are the basis on which this very comprehensive lawsuit has been filed.
Interesting. So how many pages is it? Is the initial complaint?
I went longer on it, as you have noted, somewhat to your displeasure, Len. You may know this, but a lot of people in the listening audience may not know. Justice is definitely blind. You're dealing with a lot of older judges who apparently cannot see. So you have to do this in minimal 12 point, which is a much larger print. And therefore, it comes out much longer than it would be if you printed it normally. So this is coming off at about 30 pages, but it's actually only about 22. And, the complaint, I looked in the regulations for the federal courts. There's actually no limit to how long a complaint can be. However, realizing that the judge's level of patience and attention span may not be infinite, I did try to keep it as compact as possible for the range of things I was covering. So therefore, the case is actually about 21 to 22 pages. It's not really as long as it seems. The core of the case are what you would call the factual allegations. And actually, Jane Burgermeister, initially, when I did the state case, worked with me on that, corrected some things, and she felt some things should be added from her own charges over in Europe. And then I went from there, and since she had done those charges, there's been a lot of other things that have happened, including, I did include in the factual allegations, you and Sherry's affidavit, which you were kind enough to send me in hard copy form, and I am going to use as evidence. But that included actual tie-ins between 9/11 and this whole H1N1 pandemic, as I call it, issue that we're dealing with right now. And the two, as I have seen, are linked, as well as being linked with the financial collapse, which has been very deliberate, long planned. And it's a whole range of things and you alluded to at the beginning of the show, that has been very deliberately planned and orchestrated against the people of the world, not just the United States. But this,
yes, sir. You have a question for Rebecca.
Pardon me?
Where'd you guess?
Go ahead.
No, okay.
Well, you know, there are many questions that I have. First of all, the other litigations that are ongoing and pending, are you in touch with any one of the other groups that, such as Ralph Fusicola's health freedom movement filing in the state of New York?
Yes, I always make it a point, being whole systems oriented, to try to work with other people insofar as possible and coordinate things. And so one of my first things was, and because they apparently were very busy, they didn't respond immediately. But I when I heard about their suit, which was filed October 9th, about a month ago, I got a hold of them right away. I tried to find out who it was. I knew I actually had talked to Ralph Fusitola on a conference call about another matter a year ago. So I already knew him, and I sent him an email. I sent Rima Lebo and some of the other people that were involved with that emails, getting in touch with them. And then finally, people did start to get back in touch with me about that, and I actually joined a little mini listserv that they have called Lawyers Against Enforced Vaccinations. And I just got the word I was put on that to work with them. So yes, and they're involved with the aforementioned federal lawsuit filed in Washington, D.C. that deals with the vaccine safety efficacy issue. That's the basis of their case. They also were involved in the case filed by the New York Nurses Association to stop enforced mandatory vaccinations in the healthcare workplace, which they won. They actually got the injunction to stop it. So I'm glad to be in touch with them, because they've been, as far as I can see, very effective about what they're doing. And they wanted to exchange information on briefs. Like, I actually have their brief. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I surely intend to, because I respect what they're doing. And then I also sent them mine to read so that we could cross-index what we're doing. Another thing that I'm doing, I'm in the process right now, is I am creating an evidence catalog, an exhibits catalog, all these different articles that people have been very good about sending me, including, as I mentioned, what you and Sherry sent me. I'm actually cataloging, and then I'm actually going back through the case, and I'm plugging it in. Each statement that I make in the factual allegations, I'm plugging it in to at least one and usually several pieces of evidence that will actually back it up. Everything that is in this case, as far-fetched as it may sound to the uninitiated, it's totally backed up with evidence. It all is based on facts. These facts have been suppressed. They haven't been seen in the mainstream media, which is why it's so confusing to most people, but they don't realize that the mainstream media at this point is controlled by the criminal corporate cartel that is behind 9/11, that's behind this whole pandemic, as I'm calling it, that's behind the financial collapse.
About that corporation, the Partnership for New York City, both Len and I have noticed that nobody really wants to touch that, but that seems to be the most compelling linkage between 9/11 and the swine flu genocide that's going on right now.
You bet. And that's why I put it, I saw that immediately, Sherry, and that's why that figures that's right at the beginning of the factual allegations. It's right there at the top because it links what you got in there links so many things together if people will just open their eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. For those who are not familiar with this issue and haven't tuned in previously, a man by the name of Larry Silverstein who purchased the lease on the World Trade Towers and a very large insurance policy through General Electric, which has its hands intimately engaged in the drug industry, is currently now not only rebuilding World Trade Towers with the monies from the insurance, but his partners, as in this partnership for New York City, of which he's a member, and his tenants, which they are, include the state of New York, the federal government of the United States, and the Rockefeller-created organization itself that's co-partnered or co-directed by Rupert Murdoch, who, of course, owns News Corp, the world's leading media mouthpiece.
Fox News.
Fox News and Turner Broadcasting and Time Warner. You can go on and on. And then the other is Lloyd Blankfein, who's Goldman Sachs director, and he has a gross conflicting interest. All these people have gross conflicting interests. Murdoch's whole family has been involved in the testing of H1N1 swine flu vaccinations for pregnant women and children and infants in Australia via the Merck Pharmaceutical Company's subsidiary called CSL Labs. And they did the fraudulent testing there and alleged safety of H1N1 flu vaccines. The other issue is that Lloyd Blankfein, his conflict of interest in the drug cartel was just made public last week by a talk show host from New York, Schenectady, New York, who incredibly has gone silent on us, probably because he's afraid of losing his job, because his network is Fox News Network. And his name is Al Roney, R-O-O-N-E-Y, and he came out with the fact, suddenly disappeared from the radar screen, that New York State government had purchased a tremendous amount of the vaccinations via the Goldman Sachs' merger and buy-in to the, I believe it was the AstraZeneca purchase. I think it was the flu mist vaccine, which is AstraZeneca and MedImmune. So $15 billion deal was brokered by Lloyd Blankfein and Goldman Sachs for this drug company takeover, which is producing the vaccinations now. And that has not really been made public,
right?
You know, so there's all these gross conflicting interests. Rebecca, I have a question for you, and it has to do with where people can go. I know that you and I, Sherry, we all recommend people get active in the challenge of this genocide by filing lawsuits. Where would you recommend people go to get, first of all, your information that could help them file their own lawsuits in their states against the federal government, and potentially what other links, phone numbers, or websites would you recommend that people have who we encourage to please do everything you can. Come to, you know, groups, come together in groups and communities to literally bring accountability to our legislators and health officials. The only way to do that, because they're operating above the law, is you got to bring the law right into their faces and bring them to court. So, Rebecca, do you have any direction for us on all that?
Yes, I actually have been giving this a great deal of thought. In my overall, to look at it from a whole systems perspective, in my opinion, these lawsuits and criminal charges are merely preludes to what needs to be done. I feel kind of like a tap dancer who's out in front as a side act in front of the stage, and I'll use this metaphor, it's rather vivid, and on stage and dominating the entire auditorium for countless years are satanic psychopaths that are doing human and animal sacrifices on stage, while out in the audience we have the majority of the people sitting there passively and looking on. And the aim that I have, and I'm sure you and Sherry have, and a lot of us more engaged activists, is to get the people, finally, the ultimate objective is to get the people sitting passively in the audience to rush the stage and take out the bad actors on it. Until that happens, though, and to get more and more people aware, and because of the fact of what we just mentioned about the centralization of the financial system that allows these bad actors to own the vast majority of the media, one of the best ways to get around that is filing of these charges in a really comprehensive, clear way to get the publicity, at least on the Internet, and sometimes get a crossover coverage with the alternative media. So that's the reason a lot of us are doing that. Now, if more people would be willing to file state lawsuits, and so far there hasn't been a rush on this, that would be very useful, because the more lawsuits get filed, the more attention this is going to draw to the issue, and the more the officials on the state, federal, and local levels, but it's more, I would say, federal and state, would be reluctant to try anything of a illegal, dictatorial nature, such as what this could be with all these World Health Organization regulations secretly or semi-secretly being put in place over the years in 194 nations. This is what most people don't realize.
Yeah, so, you know, going back to your metaphor, the audience right now is not only hypnotized with regard to what's happening on stage, but there's ushers moving through all the aisles with syringes, with intoxicating drugs and chemicals, and injecting those people to kill them right now, so that there's no ever mad rush of we the people to the stage. And that's why we urge you folks listening, you've got to get off your duffs. You've got to get out there, form your groups, hold your meetings, get people engaged in activism in your local communities, and get together and take the documentation that Rebecca has filed, that I have filed, that the Health Freedom folks in New York have filed, get a copy of the nurses' union's successful litigation in the state of Washington. These are very concrete, very important, easily administered. It won't cost you more than probably $1,000 to file the complaint. And by that time, I urge all the attorneys listening, and there have been increasing numbers of attorneys who are likewise seeing the truth of what's happening on stage, who are willing to basically come on pro bono to these lawsuits and advance this, because our children and our children's children, the future of our entire planet, is literally in jeopardy here. And if you don't get off your tails right now and do something about it, and you pass away, I guarantee you, you will regret the fact that you didn't take any action when you had the opportunity.
And the shortage of marketing that we're seeing is actually making these people just freely roll up their sleeves and beg for these vaccinations. I mean, they wait in line for hours. You see it all the time in publications, on the news stations, that people are waiting in line for these vaccinations. They're saying, oh, well, we're sold out of these vaccinations. You're going to the supermarkets now, and people are asking, where are the vaccinations? And they're saying they're sold out, which is their way of shortage marketing. And that's just a way for people to roll up their sleeves quicker and even beg for the vaccination. So it's a really, really sick thing that's going on. And everybody needs to wake up to this. It's the truth.
You know, besides that, on top of that, the vaccines have come too late. There's now supposedly a shortage, which is what Sherry's talking about in terms of shortage marketing. Look up the term. Two words, shortage marketing, on Google, and you'll see it's a standard ploy whenever any company has an over inventory and not enough demand for their product. They say it's urgent to have the product. They market and advertise it that way, that it's in short supply, and then suddenly there's a rush, and that's how they get rid of their useless product.
Or let's say that they don't want to have to go the mandatory way, but they will go the mandatory way if the shortage marketing doesn't work. If nobody's rushing to get these vaccinations, then they're going to do it through the mandatory, model state emergency health act, which is the next step.
They could very well do that, but again, the reality is that these vaccines are already too late. The fact is that, according to the Purdue researchers, the study was a couple weeks ago. They said that we've reached peak, and it's on its way out. And the fact is that because it's a H1N1 triple recombinant, never before seen, highly fragile because it's a new virus, it breaks apart. When it hits other viruses, it recombines, it shares genetic material. That means it's mutating rapidly. That means that the vaccines are increasingly ineffective every day that goes by. Now, you couple that with the fact that you have minimal benefit from the vaccine and maximum risk, increasing risk. Every single person that's getting vaccinated now is creating one more additional risk for the whole planet, because if they happen to get in touch with H5N1, for example, and they recombine that virus that kills 6 out of 10 people that it infects with the H1N1, which is a pussycat virus, it's only killed 6% of a normal flu mortality rate over the same period, the last 6 months, 94% more deaths from a normal seasonal flu than what H1N1 is currently doing. And all of this media hype, now you can begin to put it into perspective. You see that it's completely a propaganda campaign to sell us on vaccinations, intoxications, and depopulation. Anyway, this is very important that you begin to take responsibility for not just yourself, but your brothers and sisters and all the children and the generations to come that are threatened currently by this genocidal operation. Rebecca, go ahead. You had a comment.
I was going to say, I'll just quickly mention, there was actually a headline in the Seattle Times about 10 days ago, and I went ahead and posted it several places, and my re-headlining of it was 28,000 lemmings line up, human lemmings line up in the greater Seattle area for these vaccines, because there actually were 28,000 people using the shortage marketing mind control methods that you were citing that were actually taken in by this, and I'm really sad about it, because here I am in the middle of Seattle, and I've tried to get as much publicity as I can to my efforts in several ways, and we still have people lining up to do this. But the other thing I wanted to finish saying was, so therefore, if people want to get a hold of me, I'm aware of a gentleman, I don't know, he may call in tonight. Yeah, I know he's talked with you and Sherry as well as me, who has some really original ideas about how this could be done. And we're going to need a number of people in various states to do a couple of these other lawsuits. So I've already gotten a really good response on this of a number of people that are eager and willing to do this. And if there's more people out there listening that want to do a lawsuit and get around the media blockade on this, and possibly block it in their own state, or file a federal lawsuit, then they're welcome to get a hold of me, and I can direct them elsewhere. Also, I have a blog, and I'll go ahead. I don't have it memorized, but I can get it to you and Sherry, and I can post it several other places where a number of the things that I have filed, and I filed several other things, the state case, and another form. Anybody can do this other form, and I should mention it. It's also on Jane Burgermeister's site, theflucase.com. This is called the Notice of Possible Felonies and Treason, and it uses part of the federal United States Code in the RICO. The RICO Act is also part of this. And the basic premise of this, if you have an idea or some evidence that a felony or treason is going to be committed, it is your responsibility as a citizen to report this, and it is also the responsibility of any official, local, like your sheriff, the mayor, a county or city council member, whatever public official, a judge, gets this particular report from you, they are obligated to do something about it. And it costs nothing to get this form off the website. Any person in the United States can get this and print it off, sign it. It's already got all the information on it that Jane and I came up with, you know, it listed. And all they have to do is go to their local and federal officials and present this. And I can assure you, if a bunch of people throughout the country are doing this in their county, state, level and going to their federal courthouses and doing this, that could have a major effect. So there's a number of things. Also, there's a woman by the name of Susan Wolfrey, and one of her sites is The Jig Is Up, and that refers you to several other sites. She has a Fax the Vax program where you can work with her to send faxes and other messages to government officials throughout the planet about the H1N1 vaccine, and that may be having an effect. We've sent it to military bases, and we're noticing more and more of the soldiers are objecting to this. There's been more of a revolt and questioning against the enforced vaccinations that they're forced to take as the military, which is a crime. One other thing that I'm doing, and people can also consider doing, in the state of Washington, this seems to be a hotbed of a lot of things going on here with this whole issue. Besides the two nurse lawsuits that were here in the workplace that were successful, we've also got an issue of the public health director, Mary Selicky, who about a little over a month ago, suddenly increased the amount of mercury, thimerosal preservative, that she was allowing in the vaccines, the H1N1 vaccines being given to, you love this, pregnant women and children.
They did the same thing here in the state of California. Yep. I just saw that the other day. They passed the same hideous, intoxicating law.
So what I'm going to do, the first thing I did was email Mary Selicky. And what I found really interesting about this, besides I got it out to all the activist listservs and so forth about it, was Selicky emailed me back within an hour. And she said, what information do you have to present? And I basically said, I'll send it to you. I'll email it. And if I email it, please be aware that you will no longer, you could be guilty. If you continue this, you will be guilty of criminal malfeasance at the very least, because you will be fully aware of what you are doing. You will not be acting in ignorance. And she got back with me and told me to send it. So I emailed her and this assistant that she suggested I send it to. And then to make sure about this, I also sent it certified mail. The same information, and the two pieces of information I sent, I used web links, which is the more current form of doing it. And the first thing I did was send her Novartis' own instructions for clinical administration of their H1N1 vaccines, and that's the one that they're doing here in Washington, Novartis. And it specifically states that this vaccination has not been proven as clinically safe for pregnant women and children under 4 years of age. That was number one. That's pretty damning by itself. But even more damning is Robert F. Kennedy's article written in the last couple of years that was recently posted on Salon.com and Global Research out of Canada, and it's called Vaccines, or Vaccinations, Deadly Immunity. Kennedy got an FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, release, apparently, or somebody did, that he got a hold of transcripts of a meeting, and listen to this carefully, because this is really revelatory. He got transcripts of a meeting held by the Centers for Disease Control and all of the other federal public health organizations, the FDA, the NIH, the IOM, all the alphabet soup federal agencies, meeting at the Simpson Wood Methodist Retreat Center in Norcross, Georgia, which is not that far from Atlanta, where the CDC is located, along with the representatives of the pharmaceutical cartel and the World Health Organization. And it was a 3-day retreat. The first morning, they listened to the research findings of two of the CDC's own epidemiologists named Verhoeven and Johnson. And Verhoeven and Johnson were to tell, using the CDC's own database going 70 years back into the 1930s, how effective and safe vaccinations were. Well, during the course of the morning, it became evident that what Verhoeven and Johnson were saying was vaccines are neither. They are neither safe nor are they effective. And so the rest of the 2.5 days after that were spent by all these government agencies, the World Health Organization, and the representatives of the pharmaceutical cartel conspiring together to keep this information from the people of America and the world forever. That's pretty damning. That's also in what I sent Selicky. It's also in my case. All of this is in my case. So when I say that there's incredible evidence for all these things that you and Sherry and myself and other activists are saying about this as a literal genocidal plot against the people of the United States and of the planet, we are not kidding, and we have the evidence to back it up.
And there's major media blockage, like you keep saying, like we keep saying. I mean, it's all over the place with the media blockage. If we even look at back at the Partnership for New York City, not only is there Rupert Murdoch, but look at the other people that are on the board. You have Thomas Glocer, who is the CEO of Reuters. I mean, that's the major news wire service. So
who is also the director of the Merck Pharmaceutical Company.
So he's got his hands in the Merck Pharmaceutical Company as the director, and he's also on the Partnership for New York City board, and he's also the CEO of Reuters. It's the same story with Rupert Murdoch. I'm sorry.
There's all these interlocking boards of directors between all these different organizations, and that's another way that people can do some of their own research. All you have to do, people, is follow the money and look at the interlocking boards of directors between the different corporations. For example, when Jane was going to file her second set of charges in July, she and I were up all night doing this, and she asked me to do the research on the financials. Like, can you follow the money and find me evidence of all this? And we found the center piece of all this seems to be Goldman Sachs, and you already mentioned them. I have a satirical corporate character I call Prizes Right. She's a billionaire for Bush, and she uses wordplay to reveal the truth. And her particular name for Goldman Sachs is Gold Crammed Sachs, which I think is a really excellent term for them. They own part of, for example, of Baxter Pharmaceuticals, which was the linchpin of a lot of Jane's criminal charges, a collusion between Baxter and the World Health Organization.
Gee whiz, I didn't know that. That's a new one for me. Where is the evidence of the link between Baxter and Goldman? Gold full of Sachs.
I've got it. You want me to read it? I've got it here in the case.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me and Sherry, too, because that puts, oh, real, I think that's a huge nail in this coffin.
Let me read this to you, because this most people don't know this, and not only that, I found out another huge bit of information about something else that I've talked with major political economists like Thomas Greco, who I had supper with a week ago, and then also Richard Crook and Ellen Brown. They don't know a lot about this either. This is really esoteric information that most people don't know.
I think this is breaking news. To me, this is breaking news. I haven't read anything about this. We've searched for it. We've looked for it, haven't we, Sherry?
Yeah, we have.
So, Rebecca, if you can pull a rabbit out of the hat here and give us a link between Goldman Sachs and Baxter, man, that's important.
Okay, let me read this to you because this is what I pulled up in a period of 3 hours doing research on the Internet while Jane was writing it up. Through their parent UniCredit group, three preeminent Austrian banks whose UniCredit holding company is linked to pharmaceutical corporation Baxter International. These banks are also linked to Rothschild family interests by UniCredit being the principal shareholder in Banco de' Medici AG of Florence, Italy, a private bank founded and controlled by the Rothschilds since 1855. That's paragraph 17. Paragraph 18. Through their being the principal shareholder through UniCredit in the Rothschild-controlled Banco de' Medici, these three preeminent Austrian Baxter-linked banks are also implicated in the recent Madoff scandal, in which at least $50 billion of client investment funds were secretly siphoned into Israeli banks to be laundered for the bank-based transnational corporate crime syndicate's secret illegal drug operations, in addition to those in which it is more legitimately engaged. Let's see. Well, yeah, I guess I didn't get it in here, but there was, I apologize. There is a link with Goldman Sachs, and I did not include it for some reason in here, but I can get it for you because that was part of the research. I think I was trying to keep it, more vaccine related. But there were links between Goldman Sachs, the State Street Global Advisors, which actually has Rockefellers as members of their investment staff. There's an Arlene Rockefeller who's actually involved in that, and there's all kinds of links between Baxter, Goldman Sachs, and a number of these other entities, and they all link together. There's interlinking boards of directors. A couple of the boards of directors that were in this UniCredit group were members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and there were links to the Bilderberg groups also. So
I really encourage you to get us that documentation, because I know Sherry will want to write that up and investigate that further.
Definitely, Rebecca. Right. I look forward to it. Also, let's talk about Mortimer Zuckerman. There's the He's the CEO of Newsday, Newsweek. Also, he has the Mortimer B. Zuckerman Research Institute. He's also one of the people that's buying into the World Trade Center rebuilding with Larry Silverstein Properties.
Yeah, and he's also one of the major financiers of the Lyme disease organization that was heavily promoted, that horrific vaccination called Limerix that maimed about 700,000 people over 9 months and before it was pulled off the market by the FDA finally because there were so many people that were sick and dying from it. So
there goes your linkage with all these people.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
But really, that Baxter link is very important because of what's going on today in the Ukraine and the Joseph Mosse, that Israeli intelligence microbiologist that came to L.A. and was arrested after alleging or it was alleged that he had threatened the White House. Meanwhile, what he was actually doing was trying to warn the American people that the Baxter Corporation was about to release a biological weapon in vaccinations in the Ukraine, of all places. And so the Ukraine right now, which is a very fascinating situation because of the politics as well as the urgency of the pandemic and the new type of strains that we're expecting to read about in the next couple of days when the World Health Organization genetic analysts complete their studies and then people like Henry Nyman in Recombinomics begins to, you know, regurgitate them and analyze and have commentary about them. But the
you can check out the latest news release on fluscam.com under latest news. Check out that link, and you'll see the Ukraine Yushchenko, the President Yushchenko's plans for the declaration of national emergency, and how he plans on bringing down the mandatory vaccination law. So it's a really interesting article if you can get to flu scandal.
Yeah, he's already done that, I think.
Yeah,
he's already
right.
Declared,
he's bringing it
just
down.
Like we have in the United States, declared a national emergency. Likewise, Yushchenko in the Ukraine has done the same thing. He's a good old boy. He's playing ball with Bush. We've got a picture in the most recent newsletter of him working with Bush. And the politics, it's well known that he's kind of like a status quo defender, whereas his opponent in the presidential campaign is being criticized by him for not taking on vaccinations. Her position is the same as ours, where she's actually relying on lemon for alkalizing the body, garlic, oregano, the basic herbs to keep us pure. And frankly, when you look at what's happening in Ukraine, the people that are dying, they're dying because of the cytokine storm. And that is aggravated by every single drug that you give people. And every single vaccine that is given that has adjuvants in it, it's creating the chemistry and the immune system instability that facilitates this deadly disease called the cytokine storm. So there's so much evidence now that because the government is advancing these vaccinations, they're actually clearly scientifically proven killing people by the gross criminal negligence of the simple education and natural healing remedies, by pushing vaccinations that are toxic with mercury and all the other ingredients and the chemical intoxicating drugs, that Relenza and Tamiflu that don't do anything beneficial to eliminate what's killing people, the cytokine storm.
What about the skies? I mean, look up in the skies every day now. You'll see the skid marks left by chemtrails. It's incredible. I mean, the sky is no longer clear. And we live on the coast, so we can see the trails from where they go from the end of the coast, from where the ocean begins. They don't go over the ocean. They stop. And then you can see them all across the city. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing.
It is. It's unbelievable. And we're getting reports from around the world in the major metropolitan areas. They have the chemtrail sprays. And for people who don't understand what we're talking about, the chemtrails are virtually that. They're chemicals that were being sprayed. What goes up must come down. We're breathing them. And what the issue is that we're looking at the way in which biological chemical warfare, the combination, it's called a Russian biological cocktail method of conducting covert operative lethal warfare. Actually, it's called non-lethal warfare, but it's a misnomer. It kills people, but slowly, where you have first the chemicals that people are exposed to, even aspartame. Dr. Betty Martini is a very great expert and an activist trying to bring people attention to the fact that what we are putting into our bodies by the drug industrialists are intoxicating and suppressing the immunity that we need to fight off these infections. So there's a chemical followed by a biological. The chemicals wreak havoc with the immune system, making us more susceptible to infectious diseases, followed by then biological exposures such as to H1N1 and these new mutating forms of hemorrhagic pneumonia, etc. Suddenly now you've got a cytokine storm because your whole immune system is whacked out from first the chemicals and then followed by the biologicals. It's no wonder people are dying. And what we're witnessing is that over the next 2 months, now this is the beginning, we're close to the beginning of November, so you've got December and January. The next couple months are going to be critical because you've got all of the experts now saying what's going on in the Ukraine is coming here to North America. Rebecca, what did you have? You had a comment.
I wanted to mention that that chemtrails were seen in the cities of Kiev and Lvov and several of the other cities that were hit by the hemorrhagic pneumonic plague that was afflicting these cities. So it's very likely the chemtrails had a great deal to do with it. Also, yeah. I actually had supper with one of the leading chemtrails researchers, Clifford Carnicom, and this was a couple of months ago when he gave a talk in Portland, Oregon. And some of the
basically
stuff that
what they're doing is they're letting these they're seeding us for getting sick. They're letting out whatever chemicals they are out of the planes. We see lots of military planes all over the place. We have claims from people all over the globe claiming that they're seeing planes dropping these trails from the sky. And you can see, you look across the sky. I mean, I urge everybody, check your skies, because they're trying to make us sick, which is going to lower our immune system, so when they do drop whatever they're going to drop, or we come in contact with someone who's been vaccinated.
Yeah, you know, we've got to close down because we've just got about 2 minutes left. So let me do this. Rebecca, first of all, let me thank you for being on with us on the Inside Hour tonight. God bless you, sister. Thank you so much. And then I want to just recommend everyone go to fluscam.com. Fluscam.com is a great resource for all the education that you need, the alternative understanding of what's happening. Especially go to Flu to Do's page, because given what we've just said to you, you've got to start preparing. If you want to stay alive over the next couple months, number one, detox your body, alkalize your body. Number two is put into your body the basic fundamental nutrients that are going to sedate the cytokine storm. That's vitamin C, vitamin D, that's vitamin E. It is the oils, the fish oils. These are the things that you'll learn if you go to fluscam.com. Now, once you've purified your body, then use OxySilver. It's now time, and I haven't been saying this, I started saying this about a week ago. It's time to stockpile OxySilver. I am extremely serious. Order a case of OxySilver. You will not regret it. You'll, in fact, feel very uncomfortable that you only have one case. You'll probably want to order at least a half a dozen by the time all of these people start getting sick from this combination of agents, chemical, biological, and then ultimately the cytokine storm is going to be killing people. Your hospitals are going to be full of people by January. This is what I'm not only saying this myself, I've been thinking it, I've been looking at the evidence for it, now I'm getting the experts worldwide who are declaring it. Thanks for joining us tonight. Go to fluscam.com. Sherry, sign off.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want to, again, thank Rebecca. She's such a blessing. Thank you for being on our team, Rebecca, and keep up the great work. We're here to support you. And God bless you all out there. Go visit oxysilver.net and stay healthy.